My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is Old Age. Our text, 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years." One of the many acts of creation in Genesis chapter 1 is time. The heavens and the earth were created in six 24-hour days, and God rested on the seventh day. Commenting on the nature of time, Wayne Jackson said, "Time simply is. It cannot do anything. Time provides the historical framework in which things happen. But time has no innate ability itself. To express the same thoughts in different words, time is quantitative and not qualitative. Time did not concern man until sin entered the world. Then time became his enemy. Each passing day brought man one step closer to the grave. It has been said that time waits for no man. Days turn into years, and birthdays quickly add up. Youthful vigor and vitality gives way to soreness and the desire for a nap. We find ourselves asking, where has the time gone? For most people, the subject of old age is unpopular. Most young people do not like to think about old age, which is understandable. They have yet to experience the decline in one's physical strength and mental capabilities. For them, getting older has always meant getting better as they draw closer to the peak of their physical maturity. Those of us on the other side of youth have trouble coming to grips with the reality that our life is winding down. It is a fact that if you live long enough, you are going to get old, which is a blessing in itself because many people do not make it to old age. Just like any other stage of life, our attitude is important. Growing old can be miserable, or we can grow old gracefully and productively. This morning, we will look at various passages of Scripture that speak of old age. We will see how Joshua handled old age, and then discuss some principles and practices of growing old gracefully. What does the Bible say about getting old? Psalm chapter 103, verses 11 through 14. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frames, he remembers that we are dust." Isn't it wonderful that God, that the God who made us, knows our frailties and weaknesses and remembers how we are? Verses 15 through 18. "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them." God's love and offer of salvation is extended to all men, but his mercy and pity is extended only to those who fear him. One commentator said, "The fear of the Lord signifies that religious reverence which every intelligent being owes to his Creator, and is often used to express the whole of religion. Those who fear the Lord acknowledge the Bible as the only standard of authority on all matters religious. They devote themselves to God's service and make His Word the rule of their lives. For those who remember God's commandments to do them, He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Psalm 71, verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. David prayed for God's special mercy and grace in his later years. Proverbs 16, verse 31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory, if it is found in the way of righteousness. There is nothing more beautiful than a gray-haired man or woman who has faithfully served the Lord. On the other hand, there is nothing more tragic than a wicked elderly man or woman. Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Throughout the Bible, God has used older people to accomplish His will. Moses was over the age of 80 when chosen to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. Caleb was 85 years old when he was given Hebron. Daniel faithfully served God for over 70 years. Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, were both well advanced in years. Anna, who was about 84 years old, did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. The beloved Paul refers to himself as the aged in Philemon, verse 9. Godly old people are not only found in the Bible. We all know Christians who bear fruit in their later years. A goal for many people in life is a happy retirement. They spend years saving and planning for the time when they can stop working and do what they want to do. We may rightly retire from our secular jobs, but what about our service in the church? Is the concept of retirement applicable to the kingdom of God? Jesus' admonition to the church in Smyrna answers this question. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. There is never a time in life when we cease working for the Lord. Such was the case with Joshua. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. Now Joshua was old, advanced in years. And the Lord said to Joshua, "You are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed." Not many people would like the Lord to talk about their old age like this. Joshua is about 100 years old by this time. Think of the struggles he had been in. Joshua had been a warrior ever since Moses led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. God did not say, "Because of your age, I'm going to put you on the shelf." God did not say, "Joshua, you have been faithful all these years, so just sit back, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." God acknowledges Joshua's old age and knew that he had reached a stage in life where he must slow down and shift gears. Instead of leading Israel into the battle, Joshua now helps the priest in the allotment of the land to the people. It does not matter how many years we live. When we come down to the end of life, there will still be much work that needs to be done. That Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. Now Joshua is ready to die, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. We never reach the stage in life when the Lord's work is complete, or where we have done all we wanted to do for the Lord. Despite that, we can reach old age without regret. There is no indication that Joshua had regrets, even though he is described as being old. Joshua could look back at his life and see that it was spent in faithful service to God. Now, was Joshua sinless, perfect? Were there mistakes made in his life that he regretted? Absolutely. Imperfections and frailties characterize all of our lives. If only we could turn back the hands of time and start all over again. But through repentance, forgiveness, and walking in the light as He is in the light, we can face old age without regret. All of us must realize that as we get older, there are adjustments that we need to make. To always want to do what we used to do and not make adjustments will bring difficulty and hardship. How many athletes, after retirement, get back into their sport and fail miserably? How many people pass their prime, act and dress like teenagers? New cars, more stuff, and Botox does not reverse the inward aging process. Internal organs continue to shut down. How important is it to stay busy in our golden years? It is a fact that inactivity after retirement leads to an early grave. It might be that all I can do is to work in the garden, but that is good. All of us need to feel that we are needed, especially in old age. What did Titus advise the aged women to do? They were to teach the younger women. One of the advantages of old age should be experience and wisdom. Older people who have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil are valuable. Older members of this congregation are a treasure trove of wisdom and experience. Wesley, Hoppy, Dean, and Terry served as elders in the Lord's church. Can these men help us to become scripturally organized? Yes, they can. The question is, are we willing and ready to tap into such wisdom? Some people sitting right here have endured tremendous struggles and trials. Their ability to sympathize and help others in time of need is priceless. How many people are lonely and need a visit? How many older people can walk into a room and bring sunshine, joy, and gladness to replace that loneliness? As we make adjustments in old age, let us be assured that life is still worth living and we can contribute to the Lord's work. And then again, in his old age, Joshua remembered the promises that God had made. In his farewell address to the nation, Joshua said, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." Joshua 23, verse 14. As we get older, we need to remember these six precious promises of God. Comfort. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 18, verse 2. Guidance. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Hope. our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14, verse 27. Loving care. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. And eternal life. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Lord willing, in old age, we can say with the psalmist, I have been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Here are three principles we must keep in mind as we grow older. First, whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Have you ever heard someone say, I want to sow my wild oats while I am still young? And then what? Hope for a crop failure? Don't count on it. This sinful attitude ranks right up there with, I did it my way. Young people fail to realize the harvest of trouble they will reap for violating God's word. Most young people do not realize that the popular lifestyle of doing your own thing and sowing your wild oats is the very thing that produces the pathetic mental and physical condition found in many old people. So while they condemn the old for the way that they wasted their lives and the way they turned out, they are heading down the same path of corruption. Solomon said, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. It is not easy to teach an old dog new tricks, and it does not get any easier to forsake sins and live for Jesus the older we get. God help us to teach our children to trust and obey the Lord early in life so they can avoid the mistakes we have made. And second, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. Bread involves more than just food. It includes all things of a material nature. Live involves more than simple existence. It includes living life in its fullest, most abundant sense. We must realize one does not find the good life in seeking and acquiring material things, and the high life is not sold in a bottle. Solomon came to this realization and tries to warn us in the book of Ecclesiastes. If we don't learn this lesson while we are young, we will waste much of our lives pursuing the wrong things and hate ourselves for it when we face death's door. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus is the true and living way, and it is the Word of God that shows us the way to Christ and everlasting life. Here is the third principle we must keep in mind as we grow older. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. The word blessed means happy, rich. Wisdom is insight and understanding, which enables one to make the best use of his or her talents and circumstances. Wisdom helps us to avoid the mistakes and pitfalls of life. Wisdom can be acquired in two ways. First, personal experience, which can be very wasteful and time-consuming. We can spend much of our lives in trial and error, repeating the same mistakes made by others. While we may finally gain wisdom, we will suffer the consequences of willful sin. A second source of wisdom does not come from a still small voice or our feelings. It comes from God and His Word. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." The wisdom of God's Word and wise counsel from older Christians will help us make the most of the few days of life God grants us. To help us apply these principles, here are some practical steps based on Paul's exhortation to the young preacher Timothy on how to grow old gracefully. First, be an example to others. Paul encouraged Timothy to be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. There is no way we can avoid being a good or bad example to others. How can I be a good example when everyone knows my past sins? Well, first of all, have those sins been forgiven? If you have obeyed the gospel through repentance and scriptural baptism, then your past sins have been forgiven. God remembers those sins no more. Be an example of a forgiven sinner. Show the world what a new man or woman in Christ looks and acts like. Second, commit yourself to the Word of God. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Commit yourself to studying and teaching the Word of God to others. The study of God's Word will assure that we have an open line to God's wisdom. So study the Bible daily and share what you learn with a lost and dying world. Number three, cultivate your talents. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. The degree to which you reap will be based upon the ability which you can sow. Therefore, be active in the church. Do what you can to save others. Take as many people to heaven with you as you can. And number four, diligently strive to live for Jesus. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall save both yourselves and those who hear you. 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 through 16. In the next 20 or 30 years, most of us will be gone. And who will take our place? Are we giving special attention to young families who will stand in defense of truth? Are we out in the community preaching the gospel of Christ, or are we hoping for visitors? Is a radio broadcast enough, or does it require boots on the ground? Unless each of us does our part, the Lord's work in this community will not reach its full potential. Unless we aggressively preach the truth in love, like Jesus and the apostles did, whole households will continue to be lost.